Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 70 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
It's too late to prevent some of the harm that has already occurred. People have already been displaced.
Residents of the North Fork Mobile Home Park held a press conference today calling for good faith negotiations. Two men have been charged with murder after a deadly home invasion in Moorhead. Marathon's Catlettsburg oil refinery exceeded federal emissions standards last year. The governor is calling for more aid for flood victims. Windstream customers will get a credit for service. In sports, Moorhead State's beach volleyball team is competing in the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament. Bub Luke has the stock report. Clear skies tonight with a low around 38 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Residents of North Fork Mobile Home Park held a press conference this afternoon concerning the process the city, landlord, and developer Patrick Madden have used to displace the neighborhood. Ben Carter, an attorney with Kentucky Equal Justice Center, joined residents to discuss substantive and procedural shortcomings of the city council. In a letter addressed to the city, Carter stated the statutes required the city to consider the negative consequences of any proposed development.
The city, the landowner, the developer, no one told the people who would most likely have the best evidence about what those costs would be that this was even happening. And so it's governance by ambush, which isn't allowed by the statute and is not allowed by the Kentucky Constitution.
Residents are asking for more time to move and adequate financial compensation for the loss of their homes. Two men have been charged with murder and first-degree robbery following a fatal home invasion in Rowan County. 23-year-old Jeffrey Masters of Moorhead and 23-year-old Austin Egbert of Garrison were arrested by Kentucky State Police early this morning. According to the arrest citation, both men admitted to planning a robbery on Dawson Way early Thursday morning. The report says 27-year-old Cody Elliott had gone to the residence with Egbert and Masters. Elliott was in the doorway when the occupants of the residence shot him. Elliott and other individuals inside the residence fired several shots, and Elliott was transported to St. Clair Regional Medical Center where he succumbed to his injuries. He was pronounced deceased by Rowan County Coroner John Northcutt. An individual who lived in the home was also injured in the shooting incident. He was transported to the University of Kentucky Medical Center to be treated for his injuries. Both Masters and Egbert have been lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center. A judge set a $500,000 bond for Masters and a $750,000 bond for Egbert. A court date has not yet been set. A new report by environmental watchdog groups reports that Marathon's Catlettsburg oil refinery exceeded federal emissions standards for a cancer-causing chemical in 2020. The Environmental Integrity Project reports the refinery's released concentration of benzene grew by 344% in 2020, exceeding the Environmental Protection Agency's benzene action level by 53%. Benzene is a carcinogen that can contribute to cancer of the blood cells and respiratory ailments. Marathon spokesman Jamal Kahiri told the Lexington Herald Leader that the refinery strives to ensure compliance with federal requirements and in many cases goes beyond them. He says the jump in 2020 emissions was due to a number of one-time events. One of those incidents caused the facility's annual average to exceed the EPA action level. He says those issues have now been addressed, and regular two-week sampling reveals levels under action levels. The Catlettsburg refinery was the only one in Kentucky to exceed the EPA's action level, but 12 additional refineries were highlighted in the report. Governor Andy Beshear is adding more than two dozen counties to the list of regions where the state is requesting federal aid following flooding in February and March. Just days after the Biden administration awarded a major disaster declaration sought by Beshear, the governor announced his expanding the number of counties he wants to include on the list for federal assistance. Biden's declaration opened up disaster aid for Breathitt, Clay, Estill, Floyd, Johnson, Lee, McGoffin, Marion, and Powell counties. The governor's new request seeks aid in an additional 26, including Fayette, Franklin, and Woodford counties.
It takes a lot of documentation, but we'll work with counties to try to make that happen.
Part of the process includes damage assessments by FEMA in the coming weeks, which will determine which, if any, additional counties are eligible to participate. Counties have already racked up more than $72 million in damages as a result of the historic floods. Federal aid can include grants for temporary housing and home repairs, as well as long-term low-interest disaster loans. Windstream customers in eastern Kentucky affected by winter storms will get a credit for service. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
Attorney General Daniel Cameron announced his Office of Rate Intervention was able to get over $13,000 in credits for Windstream customers who experienced service outages. Cameron says the internet outages have become an increasing problem during the pandemic, and addressing utility complaints like those from Windstream customers is the first priority. According to WKYT, from late February to late April, ORI received over 80 complaints from Windstream customers in six Kentucky counties. Customers who experience a day, week, or several weeks of outages receive 2 months of credit. Kentuckians can file utility complaints with the Office for the Attorney General by visiting ag.ky.gov. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
Kentucky leaders on Capitol Hill are questioning President Joe Biden's calls for unity in Wednesday night's address to Congress. Kentucky Republicans see a disconnect between Biden's moderate demeanor and his policy prescriptions, which Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell described as a bait and switch aimed at only one side of the aisle.
And the president talked about unity and togetherness while reading off a multi-trillion dollar shopping list that was neither designed nor intended to earn bipartisan buy-in.
That same critique was echoed in comments by Congressman James Comer and Brett Guthrie. Meanwhile, Representative Thomas Massey tweeted that Biden's preferred tax increase would, quote, reverse the positive trend of companies bringing jobs back to the U.S. Breaking from the pack, as usual, was Democratic Representative John Yarmuth, who called the president's recovery packages ambitious and thoughtful, pledged to help pass the administration's American Jobs Plan and Americans' Families Plan. Officials announced a 19-month extension of real ID enforcement deadline this week. WMKY's Daria Denisenko has the story.
Kentucky and other states have been advised by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to delay the enforcement of the Real ID Act. Before the announced extension, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet was preparing to enforce the act starting October 1st of 2021. In just over 5 months, every traveler 18 years of age and older would need a Real ID compliant driver's license or identification card. State-issued enhanced driver's license or another TSA-accepted form of identification for domestic air travel. The 19-month extension will give license issuing agencies time to recover operating capacity that was restricted due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The new Real ID enforcement date is May 3, 2023. For WMKY News, I'm Daria Denisenko.
Woodford County is leading the state in vaccination rates with 43.2% of its population vaccinated. Kentucky is one of the leading states in vaccination participation with nearly 30% of the total population vaccinated. Cassie Prather is the Woodford County Health Department Public Health Director. She tells LEX 18 much of the county's success can be credited to efforts to get the word out and being mindful about location sites.
We have clinics at churches. We have clinics at work sites.
Franklin and Fayette counties are next in line with 42.6% fully vaccinated in Franklin County and 39.7% in Fayette. At the bottom of the ranks in vaccination participation is Spencer County with 12.5% fully vaccinated. A study by personal finance site WalletHub is giving Lexington's job market high marks for its resilience in the face of COVID-19. In her recent updates, Mayor Linda Gordon said Lexington weathered the pandemic through a combination of budget belt tightening, concentrating on basic services, and community engagement.
We've moved forward calmly, one step at a time, in safety, and steady as we go.
Now a study is ranking Lexington 15th out of 180 cities when it comes to the economic rebound. Wallet Hub's analysis of unemployment rates ranging from a year before the pandemic to last month showed Lexington holding its own with other major cities and landing ahead of Louisville, which placed 29th in the survey. Statewide, between March 2020 and 21, unemployment rates fell in 81 counties, rose in 31, and stayed flat in 8, according to the Kentucky Center for Statistics. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, sunny with a high near 70 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low around 52. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 78. Sunday night, showers likely with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 60 degrees. Monday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 74. And for your Monday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 62 degrees. On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modath says breath holding is not really a good long-term climate change mitigation plan, but we've got to start someplace.
Two topics, perhaps related at some fundamental level, demand examination today. The first because our attention is waning, and that may be a good sign or a bad sign. The second because it involves breathing. First, the Oscars. Were you one of the usual viewers who opted out this year? Did you avoid the televised ceremony, or did you miss it by accident? Doing a straw poll, I find that some of the reasons people missed the Oscars involved deliberate avoidance. Don't want to hear a bunch of political speeches, several said. Can't stand rich people talking about how unfair our country is. Or this rather surprising reason for avoiding the whole thing. Screw the movies, I've got the entire history of television at my fingertips to be streamed. Come to think, some of the better films made over the last 30 years were spin-offs from really stupid television shows. Brady Bunch visits paradise with the Dukes of Hazzard. Coming soon to a theater near you? The most serious reason a straw poll respondent gave was the hypocrisy of millionaires, many of whom decry the police, in hiding themselves behind elaborate walls, fences, and police plus security service protection for the ceremony. And let's not forget to mention the homeless people who were all of a sudden inconveniently located and thus required relocation for the beautiful people to walk by for half a day. 25 swag bags at nearly $250,000 each that were given away would go a long way toward feeding some of those persons who were moved to create the Potemkin station for the show. And finally, one person was upset because a train station was selected as the site when numerous grand but struggling theaters in L.A. would all have been better choices. Let's just plan on skipping it for no particular reason next year. Now, on to breathing. Climate change, which happens with or without help from people, might be getting a push one way or the other because of the presence of one of those gases creeping up and down in ways that indict our species. So, which gas are people talking about? Because, you know, there are a bunch of greenhouse gases. The favorite for policymakers seems to be carbon dioxide. John Kerry, U.S. climate envoy, said just the other day that once we cut carbon dioxide emissions to zero, we are not done. We've still got a bunch of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere we've got to get rid of, he said. Well, I am not available for the job of telling all the plants this news. Point is, though, if we want to get serious about controlling carbon dioxide, we could not do much better than reducing our breathing. All unnecessary breathing should be banned. Humans contribute to climate change simply by breathing. Forget your car, your electric appliances, your cell phone network, forget all that, and their own toxic pollution. You and your reckless breathing are also a problem. Sadly, it's too late to stop your birth, and to finish you off now might be misconstrued as murder instead of environmentalism. But we can regulate, tax, and suspend activities like plays or movies and choral concerts that lead to lots of extra breathing, and radio commentaries might have to go too. Take a breathing break. Now, I'm John Modaff.
Support for MSPR comes from the Moorhead Community Recycling Center. Maintaining a safe operation, CDC recommended health and safety guidelines are followed. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership with the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. Located near the Moorhead City Park with a 24-hour drop-off service, curbside service, and more information at 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
It's 70 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Keneally Roberts has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Friday evening.
The Eagles are soaring in the sand this afternoon. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. The Eagles beach volleyball team was back in the sand this afternoon with a lower bracket meeting with in-state rival and number 6 seed Eastern Kentucky. MSU won the matchup 5-0 and is on the court now with Jacksonville State. Head coach Kirsten Becker says her team was disappointed in the first round loss to Austin Peay, but came in ready for today's contests.
Whether it's been in the sand or inside, we always do really well on day two. And so I'm excited for it. I think they're looking forward to a little bit of redemption and the ability to show their resiliency.
The match from the Skyhawk Beach Volleyball Complex is currently underway. The most updated scores are available on MSU Beach Volleyball's Twitter page. The Moorhead State softball team is gearing up for a three-game series with SIU Edwardsville this weekend. The 12-21 Cougars are coming off a three-series sweep over Austin Peay last weekend. Moorhead head coach Samantha Jones says her team is glad to be playing on their home field.
Things that you know and aware of are more in tune of being comfortable with you. So there is that level of, you know, just satisfaction and things that they desire at home. So we're excited to play on our home field and in front of the fans that we're able to have because of COVID. But overall, I think the girls are doing a really good job this year of just responding to the challenges that have been put out in front of them.
A doubleheader is slated to begin at 1 p.m. Saturday at University Field. The two teams will square up again on Sunday, also at 1 p.m. The Moorhead State baseball team is in the middle of Game 2 of a four-game series with Murray State that began earlier this afternoon. Game 1 ended with a win for the Eagles. Head coach Mick Aoki says having most of the week off has been helpful for his team.
We don't have a midweek because we play one of those weekends where we play three conference games against Murray State, and then the Sunday game, even though they are in our conference, doesn't count against the conference standing. So I think that after having played a lot of baseball last week, I think the opportunity to get a little bit of rest in this midweek, I think will be good for our club.
The two teams will face off again tomorrow at 1 and Sunday at noon. Tickets are available at msueagles.com. The Rowan County Senior High School baseball team is set to wrap up play on the road this week. The Vikings are headed to West Carter to take on the Comets. Assistant coach Rob Ward says he'll be glad to get the road stint out of the way, and the competition on the mound this evening is looking pretty stiff.
We played, I believe, 9 out of 12 games or 13 games at home. It'll be an adjustment, you know, riding the bus, getting ready in that aspect. But I think our guys will be ready for it. Playing against West Carter at the end of the week, they've got a big arm in Trevor Callahan, Moorhead State commit. I'm not sure if we'll see him or not, but anytime he's on the mound, he keeps them in the game and makes them a potential winner.
This evening's contest gets underway at 5:30. And finally in sports, the Rowan County Senior High School softball team won't be back in action until Monday. The Vikings are getting the weekend off to enjoy prom festivities. Head coach Larry Sloan says the downtime will do his team some good anyway, as multiple players have been out this week.
Now I've got starting catchers out with a pulled hamstring, and then starting left fielder, which was Kendall McDaniel. She's still on COVID protocol, won't be back till next week. So we've got two starters out there.
The Vikings will be back at home on Monday to host Nicholas County at 6 o'clock. And that's going to do it for sports today. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The major averages slipped as investors poured over a flurry of earnings results as well as a robust profit beat from e-commerce giant Amazon. And the Dow Industrials did finish the week with a loss of 185.51 at 33,874.85. The S&P 500 was down 30.3 at 4181.17. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 119.87 at 13,962.68. Despite today's weakness in equities, the S&P 500 notched its third straight month of gains for the month of April, with a gain of about 5.25%. And the Dow was up 2.7% in April, and the NASDAQ gained 5.4%. And Amazon, the last of Wall Street's mega-cap tech companies to publish results, reported a record first-quarter profit as January to March sales soared 44%, and the results certainly blew past Wall Street's expectations, with the company earning $15.79 a share versus the consensus estimate of $9.54. Despite such a strong result, Amazon stock today was down slightly. Apple came under pressure after the European Union said the company's App Store was breaching its competition rules, and Apple shares dropped 1.5%. ExxonMobil and Chevron closed lower after reporting before the bell. Chevron's quarterly earnings failed to exceed expectations. And in economic news, March spending jumped a better than expected 4.2%, while personal income surged by a massive 21.1% amid more fiscal stimulus. In the commodities markets, oil was down $1.52 at $63.49 a barrel. Gold was down 90 cents at $1,767.40 an ounce. Among individual stocks, App Harvest was up 46 cents at $17.11. Community Trust Bank was down 3 cents at $44.56. Amazon was down $3.89 at $34.67.42. Apple was down $2.02 at $131.46. Anthem was down $3.64 at $379.39. And Marathon Petroleum was down 39 cents, finishing at $55.65. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight clear with a low around 38, Saturday sunny with a high near 74, Saturday night mostly clear with a low around 52, Sunday partly sunny with a high near 78, Sunday night a 60% chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 60, Monday a 90% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 74.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Shamari Mosley, Rachel Turner, Daria Denisenko, Ben Hall, Josh Grogan, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.